Hello and welcome. This is Pastor Terry, and I'd like to welcome you to my Bible study podcast. This daily podcast is a place where we take the teachings of Scripture seriously, but ourselves, not so much. Join us as we dive into the sacred word of the Bible, and each time we read, we pray, we change the world. Welcome to Pastor Terry's Bible Study Podcast.
That's wrong one. Hey, good morning, everybody. Welcome to today's podcast. It is Wednesday, December the 20th, 2023. Welcome, everybody. Just doing a little roll call and temperatures. So it looks like a lot of areas are 25, 27 up in the Midwest and mid-Atlantic. Down here in Florida, it's 45 in Tampa. So chilly this morning. Christmassy for sure. I'm glad that you're on today. We are jumping 25 in Indiana, 27 in Pennsylvania. We're going to go and continue on in our readings today with our Advent readings. This is the third week of Advent, and this is the Wednesday of the third week of Advent. So we're reading through Isaiah, we're reading some readings out of 2 Peter and the Gospel of Luke. So thank you guys for being on today. If you're on the podcast, welcome. Wherever you are, whether you're at your house, working, jogging, on the treadmill, probably today may be a treadmill day. You know, especially if you exercise in the morning. If you're a morning jogger, you know, it might be a treadmill day. So, all right, let's do it. Isaiah chapter 9 is going to be our first reading, verses 8 through 17. You know what we do? We read, we pray, we change the world. Richmond area. Okay. So you're a little more south than I was thinking. All right. 9:8-17. See what the prophet Isaiah has to say. The Lord has sent a message against Jacob. It will fall on Israel. All the people will know it. Ephraim and the inhabitants of Samaria, who say with pride and arrogance of heart, the bricks have fallen down, but we will rebuild with distressed stone. The fig trees have been felled, but we will replace them with cedars. So those who maybe have faced destruction, but they, out of pride, are going to not learn from their mistakes, but we're just going to continue on. But the Lord has strengthened Rezin's foes against them and has spurred their enemies on. Arameans from the east and Palestinians from the west have devoured Israel with open mouth. Not Palestinians, that's Philistines. I'm sorry. It's too much international conflict right now. I was about to say, when I said Palestine, I was like, that's not even in the Bible. Philistines, I'm sure. I'm sorry. Philistines from the west have devoured Israel with open mouth. Yet for all of this, his anger is not turned away. His hand is still upraised. So in the prophetic purpose here, remember that he's warning Israel. And he's basically saying, it's going to get bad, and you're going to think you're just going to rebuild and move on, but it's going to get worse. Because God the cleansing he has intended is not complete. So it will, there will be more. Verse 13. But the people have not returned to him. who struck them, nor have they sought the Lord Almighty. So the Lord will cut off from Israel both head and tail, both palm branch and reed in a single day. The elders and dignitaries are the head. The prophets who teach lies are the tail. Ooh. So false prophets. He's going to bring judgment on both. So false leaders, and ungodly spiritual advisors. I mean, the world's filled with both of those today too, man. Filled with ungodly secular leaders, and also filled with some false teachers, false spiritual guides. Good morning, everybody. Merry Christmas. Happy Advent. Those who guide this people mislead them, and those who are guided are led astray. Therefore, the Lord will take no pleasure in the young men, nor will he pity the fatherless and the widows, for everyone is ungodly and wicked. Every mouth speaks folly. Yet for all this, his anger is not turned away. His hand is still upraised. So judgment is coming, is what Isaiah is saying. He's saying there's just wickedness everywhere. There's none that are innocent. It's just the whole lot have turned away from the Lord. 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. Let's see if we can, as we did yesterday, try to figure out the common theme, or common themes, plural. And I see one already right here from the first verse of chapter 2, in 2 Peter chapter 2. But there were also false prophets among the people, just as there will be false prophets among you. So there's clearly a warning here against false prophets. Isaiah was speaking against false prophets who were leading people astray. And here, in the activity of the early church, Peter is warning that there were also false teachers. They will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the sovereign Lord who bought them, bringing swift destruction on themselves. Well, there's the theme also there of destruction, of following lies and teaching lies will lead to destruction. Many will follow their depraved conduct and will bring the way of truth into dispute. Pages are stuck together here. In greed, these teachers will exploit you with fabricated stories. Their condemnation has long been hanging over them, and their destruction has not been sleeping. Verse 4, for if God did not spare angels when they sinned, but sent them to hell, put them in chains of darkness to be held for judgment, if he did not spare the ancient world when he brought the flood on its ungodly people, but protected Noah, a preacher of righteousness, and seven others, if he condemned the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah by burning them to ashes, and made them an example of what is going to happen to the ungodly, and if he rescued Lot, a righteous man who was distressed by the depraved conduct of the lawless, for that righteous man living among them day after day was tormented in his righteous soul by the lawless deeds he saw and heard. If this is so, then the Lord knows how to rescue the godly from trials and to hold the unrighteous for punishment on the day of judgment. This is especially true of those who follow the corrupt desire of the flesh and despise authority. Ooh. All right. Okay. So the theme is clearly, a theme is clearly, God is just and not ignorant of unrighteousness, and it will be judged. If he, Peter gave a list of their things, of things that were judged that were ungodly, and on the other hand, he also clearly takes note of those who are righteous. So I wonder how this correlates to the gospel reading today. And it's true that, and so how does this relate to Advent, right? The season of Advent. Obviously, at Jesus' second coming, he is going to judge, finally, between the righteous and the unrighteous. But it's also true that his first coming, his first advent, was a judgment too. Those who received him and those who did not. Basically, the receptivity to him was whether or not, really determined whether one was really receiving the activity of God or not, the salvation of God or not. So let's read the gospel reading. Mark chapter 1. So we're jumping over to the Gospel of Mark today. Mark 1, 1 through 8. It's interesting because this is, Mark doesn't have any nativity stories. Matthew, Luke, of course, do. John sort of does, but it's different. But Mark, his doesn't have any record. He doesn't say anything about the early life of Jesus. As you will see, it starts right out at the teaching ministry of Jesus. Which is a reminder that the Gospels are not what we would think of as a modern biography. They were Gospels. They were a unique type of writing intended to convince people to believe that Jesus was who he said he was, to tell the story of Jesus' life. They were written sermons. They're to proclaim, to preach about Jesus, to tell the story in a compelling way that would encourage believers and convince unbelievers. Mark chapter 1, verses 1 through 8. Good morning, everybody. Welcome. Welcome to today's podcast. We are reading our third week Advent readings here. The beginning of the good news about Jesus the Messiah, the Son of God, as it is written in Isaiah the prophet. Okay. So this is there's a lot in that first verse. Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God, both his divinity and his humanity are both right there. Messiah, human figure, Son of God, clearly a divine figure. Prophesied, a fulfillment of prophecy, verse 2, as it is written in Isaiah the prophet, I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way, a voice of one calling in the wilderness. Prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight paths for him. In a sense, here's another kind of parallel. In a sense, Jesus ushered in the day of the Lord. John the Baptist would prepare the way of the Lord. And so when Jesus arrived on the scene, it was a confrontation with the Lord. And so John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to him, confessing their sins. They were baptized by him in the Jordan River. John wore clothing made of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. He's rugged, man. The older cousin of Jesus, 6 months older than Jesus. Camel's hair and leather belt. He ate locusts and wild honey. And this was his message. Interesting. This is his message. After me comes the one more powerful than I, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. That reminds me a little bit of what we talked about Sunday. We talked about the story of Elizabeth and Mary when Mary hurried and went to Elizabeth's house when she was told she was going to conceive Messiah. And we talked a little bit about the fact that Elizabeth demonstrates such humility in that situation. I mean, Elizabeth was the older cousin. She was the older woman. There are so many reasons for her to take the place, the higher place, but she submits herself and takes a place of humility and elevates Mary. And so from an early age, she modeled for John, her Elizabeth, John the Baptist's mom, illustrated for him humility and probably let him know over and over that he was very important, but that his role was to point the way to the Messiah, that there would come a time when he would have to become lesser and Jesus would have to become greater. And here is exactly what happens. And the fact that they didn't have a competition, that John didn't see Jesus as a threat, but he understood his place, he understood his role, he understood his function. And he here again humbly. I mean, that's very humble words from John the Baptist. One that comes after me is more powerful than I. In that culture, that was the older always was given the honor over the younger. So it would be typical for John to be perceived as the one more powerful. But here, John the older is saying, someone younger than me, that someone that's coming after me is more powerful than I am. And I'm not even worthy to stoop down and untie his sandals. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. You know what John is an example of? He's an example of a true prophet. You know, in the theme of what we've been talking about with these three readings, where there was examples of false teachers, false prophets, leading people astray, John here is the example of the truest kind of prophet who understands his role, but is quick to point to Jesus and points people's attention to him and admits that it's not about me, it's about him. And if there were any comparison, it really is beyond comparison because I'm not even worthy to untie his sandals. Wow. I think there's a lot of lessons there for us. One of those is just a lesson on discernment, that we want to be listening to teachers and spiritual guides that are quick to point to Jesus and not to themselves. We get the spirit and the content from them that says, I'm not worthy to untie his sandals, right? That it's all about Jesus. I think those are but also even for ourselves, that we need to be those kind of people that point people to Jesus. Yeah. To not be led astray, and to even ourselves point people to Jesus, to elevate him, and to receive him, and to point other people to him. Yeah. All right, you guys, thanks for being on today. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for your holy word. Thank you for this reminder, Lord, not to be led astray, not to heed false teachers that only point to themselves. Lord, help us to be wise and discerning, and even ourselves, to be sure that we, Lord, are pointing other people to you. And when we don't, Lord, help us to see that and to make that correction. God, thank you for my friends today. I pray you bless them and encourage them. May you be with them in these days leading up to Christmas. Lord, may we be grounded in you and be in fellowship with you and not be so driven around by all of the activities, but to walk slowly through the crowd and be aware of who you are and what you've done. And help us, God, to be used by you to reach other people, to reach out to friends and neighbors, loved ones. And Lord, we pray that many might come to know the saving knowledge of Jesus this Christmas. And Lord, it would be such a blessing if we could be a part of that. We ask it all in your precious name, Jesus. Amen. Amen. God bless you, my friends. Thank you so much for being on today. We'll be back tomorrow. Tomorrow's our last one of the year. Don't miss it. Our last live of the year. We'll be together tomorrow, reading and following on in Isaiah, then 2 Peter and Matthew. Be sure to hit the like button before you jump off today. And have a fantastic day. See you guys tomorrow. Stay warm out there. Bundle up. See y'all next time. Bye.
Thank you for joining me on today's podcast. I hope you enjoyed the show. If this episode has been an encouragement to you, take a minute to subscribe or comment or share it with your friends. You can find me, Pastor Terry, and Bayside Church on all social media platforms. You can find Bayside at Bayside Church SH. Until next time, remember, God's word is true. Everything else is merely commentary. God bless you. We'll see you next time.